The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
Welcome to a Monday. It's a brand new week. Same old shit, new week, same shit. This is our life. It's like a really demented version of Groundhog Day, right? It's coronavirus. Everywhere you go, you wake up each day and there are new records in terms of deaths, in terms of infections. You have an idiot in the White House who keeps spewing the same insane stuff, just different day, same shit. And we feel like we're getting nowhere. And yet the news keeps getting worse and worse. It's the reason I started doing these Monday music shows, because God knows we need an escape from all the horrendous news all the time. And so I'll tell you what helped me through my depression and those moments when I'm almost inconsolable is music. So I thought we'll take the second half of the show on Mondays and invite a different artist on each week to talk, to play some music, to have fun. And so today, I'm so thrilled, Dan Byrne is going to be here. Now, Dan Byrne is not a household name, though he should be. Well, I first met him back in 1997 when he released his very first EP. And I've been a fan ever since. Well, you'll find out why in the next half hour when Dan Byrne joins us. Now, if you're on Facebook, chances are you've seen him. He's been doing these Hunkered in the Bunker Facebook live sessions. So you'll get a little taste of that. And I'm pretty confident that after you meet him today on the show, you'll be checking out Dan Byrne's Facebook page for his Hunkered in the Bunker sessions coming up. And hopefully when this pandemic ends, if it ever does, you'll want to go check him out live, because he is a troubadour. He writes music and performs music and tells stories, and it's just wonderful. I've got some stories to tell you that are not quite so wonderful that we'll get to in just a moment. We're also going to check in with Jeet here over at The Nation magazine to tell us about a story that I mentioned last week on Friday that was just unfolding in Portland. So we'll get an update from Jeet about what's going on there. But, you know, I like to start the show with something fun, a bit of a funny, as I call it. It's a comedy bit, usually, and lately they've taken the form of parody songs, because people have been getting very creative during the pandemic. There are a few groups, a few entities that I keep going back to time and time again, because they're so good and they're prolific. And that is the case with Founders Sing. Regulars, no Founders Sing. This time, they're not the Founders. Oh, my God. What I'll probably do while this video is playing, for those of you listening to the audio stream and not seeing the video, is chime in to tell you who is singing, which character they have animated to do the singing on the video, because it's a parody of We Are the World. So, you know, it's a cast of characters. And this time, they call it We Are the Worst. You can only imagine who's coming up. So if you're watching the video, you won't hear my vocal intrusions. If you're listening to the audio, I will tell you before each person begins singing or as they begin singing, because it's that good. And as I do every day, I will post the video on the blog at NicoleSandler.com, followed by the date. Today would be /7-20-20. So with no further ado, take it away. Founders Sing, We Are the Worst. Worst Among Us have come together to record a charity single to benefit themselves, it says on the screen. And it starts with Donald Trump.
I always thrive watching others take the fall. In my world, I'll always be number one.
Kaylee, whatever her name is, McEnany.
As long as I can get ahead in life.
and Sarah Huckabilly Sanders. Huckabees. Stephen Miller. Oy.
More races day by day. We all
Ted Cruz.
Our souls to the end, all right.
Ivanka.
That's big mob family.
Screw the truth.
Oy, Jared.
Saudi's all I need.
We are the world.
Rudy.
We are the villain. We are the ones who flush the planet down for all your children.
Hi. Betsy DeVos.
We'll trash the poor kids' lives. Go back to classrooms right away. There's no disease.
Oh, please. Hi, Mike Pence.
Sniff his farts. Kiss the Oval Office chair. Do me right.
And Mitch
Don't
McTurtle McConnell.
Nothing to me. Oh, God is POTUS.
Hey.
Integrity is dead. I'll break the law.
Bill Barr.
To lend him a helping hand.
Everybody's saying.
We are the world.
Rush Limbaugh's.
We are the chickens. The spineless ones who make the USA so weak.
Yeah. Roger Stone.
Despite my heinous crimes, can't wait to hook up right away with WikiLeaks.
Miss Lindsay. Kellyanne Conway.
Taught me
Don Jr.
Cheating people is fun.
It's all of them now. Everybody's saying.
We are the villains. We are the ones who flush the planet down for all your children. Look how rich we're getting. Our kind will have a brighter day, not you but me. We are the worms, we are the chickens, the spineless ones who make the USA so weak and sicken.
Yes, we have forsaken.
Oh, it's Donald again.
Our country's heart and soul. It's true, we are a wretched bunch of real assholes.
Yeah, they are.
We are the worst.
They are the worst.
We are the villains.
We are the villains.
We are the ones who flush the planet down for all your children.
For all your children.
Look how rich we're getting by shining our gaslight. Our kind will have a brighter day. Not you but me.
Not you but me. Yeah. All right.
Hey, thanks for watching. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button.
Yeah.
Click on the bell and choose all.
That was Founder Sting, who've been doing some incredible, wonderful parody songs. And that was just everything you'd imagine from them. All right. As I told you, it is Monday Music. We got Dan Byrne coming up in a little while. But first, we're going to check in with Jeet here over at The Nation magazine. Let's get him on the line, I hope, to find out the latest about what is going on in Portland. Because on Friday when we spoke, these unmarked cars were pulling up with people in camouflage with no identification who were pulling people off the street and abducting them. I guess they're saying they're arrests, but maybe not. I think.
Hi, sorry to miss your call.
Oh, no. Well, I wonder if knowing me, I wrote his phone number down wrong. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll take a very quick time out. We'll come back on the other side, hopefully with Jeet here. If we don't get Jeet here, I'll read to you a little bit of what's going on in Portland and elsewhere, and then we will get to the music with Dan Byrne. It's all coming up today on The Nicole Sandler Show at NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network. All right.
That.
Nope. All right. So that's not working. Now that they're in commercials, we can talk. I'll tell you what. I'm going to play for you a Lincoln Project ad, the newest one. And you know how I feel about the Lincoln Project. I sometimes get worried. Although Greg Sargent over at The Washington Post did an interview with them today, and they pledged that they're with us. We'll see. Anyway, here's the Lincoln Project with their latest on John Lewis.
John Lewis. He was jailed and beaten, but never bowed. The son of sharecroppers, he was one of the first freedom riders. Attacked by a mob and left for dead in a bus station in Montgomery, Alabama, he got back up and led the fight for justice. That was John Lewis. He always got back up and never quit. Surrounded and assaulted by hate, he rejected violence and embraced love. For over half a century, he showed us the true meaning of courage and dignity. Today, America is in another crisis, and a new wave of hate is once again embraced by the powerful to hold on to their power. In the days ahead, let us be guided by the courage of John Lewis. He never quit. He always got up. He knew a better day belonged to those who had the courage to act. Now it's our turn.
We must say, wake up, America, wake up, for we cannot stop, and we will not and cannot be patient.
The Lincoln Project is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Okay, we are back. I'm Nicole Sandler, and I believe joining me on the line right now is Jeet Heer of The Nation magazine.
That's right.
Jeet, you there? Thank you so much for joining us today. We tried to connect on Friday and got our lines crossed, but I'm glad you could be here today because I'm really troubled, as I think we all should be, about what's going on in Portland. On Friday, we were getting the reports of what happened overnight and a couple of days before that with these camouflage-clad forces armed with long guns with no identification other than a badge or a patch that says police, grabbing people off the streets and abducting them. For all I know, I mean, we hear they were arrested, but do we know who these people are?
We have a little bit better idea than we did when they first came out, which is that they seem to be taken from a bunch of federal agencies, largely the Border Patrol, Homeland Security, and Immigration, Customs and Border. A lot of it is very still sort of ambiguous. I mean, you mentioned, like, do we know if they're being arrested? Well, some of the people are detained and held and read their Miranda rights, but then if their lawyers ask to see arrest records, they're told, we don't know anything about this. So it's a very disturbing thing, these federal agents, we don't know who they are, and hold people and take them away. A lot of it's still very murky. It's in keeping, I think, with some stuff that Trump's been trying to do. And I think it really goes back to the early days of the Black Lives Matter protest,
mm-hmm.
where Trump really wanted to bring the military in. And it really does seem like the Pentagon said, no, we're not going to be your foot soldiers in a war against the American people. And so Trump found this, a walk around, which is to use, prison guards, border patrol people, and whatnot. And he's doing it against the opposition, not just of the people of Portland, but also the elected government of the mayor and the governor.
Right. In fact, I mean, we heard some audio both on Friday and then again today from the acting the acting head of Department of Homeland Security, only because acting because Trump didn't bother to take him through the confirmation process in the Senate. But his name is Chad Wolf. And here's a real quick clip of what he said today about these forces invading our city streets. I think. Does not want to play. Here we go.
I don't need invitations by the state, state mayors or state governors to do our job. We're going to do that, whether they like us there or not. That's our responsibility.
Uh-oh. That doesn't sound very democratic, does it?
No, it does not. And one would think that, like, Republicans who talk about, you know, states' rights and federal government overreach would say something, but so far they've been very silent about that. But also, yeah, I mean, like, it goes against, like, you know, very basic principles. And it creates, you know, as you mentioned, all sorts of troubling things could happen. Because if you have people, you know, who basically are not badgeless, you know, going around trying to enforce the law, like, what's to prevent any militiaman from, you know, putting on a camouflage and grabbing
exactly.
people off the street?
I mean, these people, they say they're law enforcement, but they've not identified themselves. If I were out on the street protesting, or like some have been, one guy was just riding his bicycle. They knocked him down, grabbed him, threw him in the back of one of these unmarked SUVs. I mean, how do we know these people are not being kidnapped? How do we know that these are government officials? And even if they are, do they have warrants to arrest these people? Do we know if any of them have actually been arrested, or if they're just being held? What do we know?
Yeah, I don't believe. Actually, I think that one of my colleagues just actually did a report that there has been at least one arrest from a Border Patrol person. But a lot of
Border
times people
Patrol.
Are just detained. Well, exactly. Which is, you know, like, there's real questions as well. This is, like, even allowable. Except that the way the mandate of Border Patrol is defined is, like, 100 miles from any shore or border. So that includes, like, you know, most places where Americans live. Like, you know, like, if you're 100 miles from the border of Canada or Mexico, or if you live 100 miles of the two oceans, then, you know, you're susceptible, even as an American citizen, the Border Patrol agents, like, detaining you and arresting you. And I mean, I think that's very disturbing.
It is disturbing. And now, so Trump had one of his little things in the Oval Office today, where they had a pool reporter in there who asked him about it. And he made threats that next they're going to go to Chicago and New York and Baltimore. And he's screaming about, you know, all these liberal Democrats and how, I mean, this sounds extra judicial to me. I mean, it doesn't sound legal. How is he doing this?
Yeah. Well, I mean, unfortunately, a lot of it is sort of powers he's taking from the Patriot Act and, you know, Department of Homeland Security. Like, they're basically saying that people protesting in front of a federal building or putting graffiti in a federal building is terrorism. So they're, like, you know, immediately saying, well, we're dealing with a terrorist threat here. And I think that's it's a huge overstretch. And I think the only way to deal with it is really to fight back. And, like, I really need Congress to step up to the plate and really, like, you know, investigate this, and also articulate that it's not permissible. And I think Biden has to step up to the plate and basically say, like, anything that's happening now, like, when I'm president, it's going to be investigated. If people broke the law, you know, they're going to go to jail. I'm not going to give any immunity to anybody.
Unbelievable. Yeah. No, he'll only pardon people like Roger Stone and Sheriff Arpaio, and the list goes on. I got to say, a lot of people, after the initial reports came out, a lot of moms and teachers and just regular citizens went to Portland to help create a barrier between the protesters and these armed ghouls, whoever they are. Here's a little video for those watching on YouTube or anything, where you can see they're just like a bunch of moms and teachers and people with Black Lives Matter signs and such, who put up a physical barricade trying to separate the police from these protesters. But Jeet, here, I don't see this getting any better anytime soon, right? I mean, the threats
I think it's going to be, it's, Well, I mean, I think it's going to be like Trump's attempt to quash the protest in Washington. Like, it's going to create a counter-reaction. And in some ways, I think Trump seems to feel like he needs a fight with protesters, and it'll help them. But, I mean, I don't think there's any evidence of that. Like, it really does seem to provoke a counter-reaction that's much stronger. So,
Goodness. Well, we are screwed, it seems. I guess that all we can do is... look toward November 3rd. Just get make sure you're registered.
Yeah, I know. I'm sure the election. Although, I mean, I actually think that the I think there's some moves in the Congress. Alexander Ocasio-Cortez is, getting together a bill to call on Trump to stop this. I think there's stuff that can be done. I mean, I certainly, would really want to see lawmakers step up to the plate and like try to push back against us.
Well, I hope she's successful. Jeet here over at The Nation. You guys are doing a great job covering this. I know your colleague, Ken Klippenstein, I think, also has more ongoing coverage of what happened this weekend.
He's done some really great work. He knows people in Washington who are leaking to him. And I'd encourage people to check out the website because they're finding he's really getting the goods on what's happening.
Definitely. Well, we'll stay on top of that. Jeet, thank you so much for jumping on with us today. I appreciate your coverage and all you guys over at The Nation.
Okay, great. Thank you. Good to talk to you.
You too. You take care. Bye-bye. All right. We're just going to get through a little bit more of the news, and then we'll bring Dan Byrne on. But, here's what's going on.
I read the news today, boy.
Of course, the big story is the damn coronavirus, and each day we have new records, right? And I'm here in Florida. And now it's 5 days in a row that the number of new infections has been over 10,000. It just never ends. Quickly looking for my notes on this, and of course I seem to have lost my section on the coronavirus because of all this other shit that's going on. We addressed Portland, and that's frightening. The other really frightening story over the weekend broke last night. We got breaking news reports of what appeared to be a targeted assassination attempt. The son of U.S. District Judge Esther Salas was shot and killed at their home in North Brunswick, New Jersey, last night. Her husband, a criminal defense lawyer, was also shot and wounded. What happened is the shooter was dressed as a FedEx delivery man, and he opened fire when the door was opened when he was pretending to deliver a package. The judge herself, thankfully, was in the basement, so wasn't hurt in the attack. But it is worth noting that only 4 days earlier, on July 15th, Salas was assigned to the ongoing lawsuit brought by Deutsche Bank investors who claim that the company made false and misleading statements about its anti-money laundering policies. The suit also alleged the bank failed to properly monitor high-risk customers, including Jeffrey Epstein. So do I know if this is tied into Epstein and Trump? No. It's just too fishy. And then there's an update just maybe an hour ago. The shooter has been found conveniently dead of a self-inflicted gunshot wound. I'm sorry. What's the old saying? There are no coincidences. Here are the stats on the COVID. Over the weekend, the death toll in the United States alone has risen past 140,000. 140,000 people dead. Do you remember how batshit crazy the Republicans went when there were four Americans killed in Benghazi? And yes, that was a tragedy, but they held hearings for years. And still haven't let it go because there were four Americans dead due to governmental mismanagement, perhaps. What about this? 140,000 people dead in the United States alone. And the number of cases here in the U.S. has now topped 3.7 million. And again, for the fifth day in a row, Florida hit more than 10,000 new infections. Yesterday alone, 12,523. And there are idiots on social media going, oh, it's all a hoax. It's a hoax. Because the moron, the orange idiot in the Oval Office, keeps saying it was a hoax. It's not a big deal. I watched that Sunday, Fox News Sunday interview with him. Don't worry, I'm not going to play any clips from it, just because why? Why bother at this point? Because it's infuriating. He lies about everything. I just say we got to hold on through November 3rd. By the way, back to the Portland story, I wanted to share this with you. CBS News, Paula Reed at CBS tweeted out not too long ago, CBS News has learned that the Trump administration is sending 175 federal agents to assist local law enforcement in curbing crime/violence in Chicago. Resources will come from Chicago, Detroit, St. Paul, Nashville, and also likely Atlanta, a significant escalation between Trump administration and the mayor. This is not going to end anytime soon. And what they're doing now in Portland, watch out. They're going to hit Chicago next. And Trump in the Oval Office this morning threatened Baltimore, New York. Congress, you're back in session today after a very long 4th of July recess. Do something about it. They better put a muzzle on this man or we are all completely screwed. Not that we're not now, but, you know, you get the idea. I'm trying to think if there's anything else I need to get to before. You know, the only other thing I need to touch on, obviously, was the death Friday night when we learned that John Lewis had died. John Lewis, who was, for good reason, called the conscience of Congress. He had fought a 6-month battle with pancreatic cancer, yet he went out just a few weeks ago to Black Lives Matter Square, as it's now called, outside of the White House to show his support. Look, I know our schools don't teach Black history. Our schools don't teach American history well enough. I think every school child, every high school kid should read Howard Zinn's A People's History of the United States. And maybe then they'd know something about John Lewis. There has been a surge of support to rename the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama, in honor of John Lewis. He helped lead the march for Black voting rights across that bridge in 1965. During which he was beaten horribly. That event came to be known as Bloody Sunday. Pettus, on the other hand, was a brigadier general in the Confederate Army during the Civil War, who later became a KKK leader. So the petition to rename the bridge for Lewis actually began about a month ago, but after word of his death, it jumped to close to 500,000 signatures. If you want to sign on, just go to change.org and look for the petition to rename the Edmund Pettus Bridge for John Lewis. All right, let's do one more quick timeout, and then we are just going to music on down with Dan Byrne. So stick around. I'm Nicole Sandler. It is NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network. And I got to hit this button right like this. Okay, so that button's hit, and now let me hit this one.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two. On this day in labor history, the year was 1934. That was the day that came to be known as Bloody Friday. Minneapolis Teamsters had been on strike for 3 days in their third strike of the year. Trucking bosses had reneged on their May settlement. They refused to recognize union organization of inside workers. In the period between strikes, the union had documented hundreds of cases of discrimination. Now, 7,000 Teamsters effectively shut down trucking throughout the city. Local 574 leaders established a daily strike bulletin. The organizer, as it was called, would serve to guide strikers to victory. In his book, Revolutionary Teamsters, historian Brian Palmer notes that the first few days of the strike had been quiet. Then, on this day, police attempted to break the picket lines by running what seemed to be a lone scab truck through the lines. It was later discovered the truck was moving no merchandise, but was used to draw strikers into a confrontation. When flying pickets moved to stop the truck, they were ambushed. Police opened fire on unarmed picketers and then sprayed those who attempted to escape with buckshot. At least 48 were wounded. Striker Harry Ness and unemployed council supporter John Beller were killed. Palmer notes that Ness had been shot point blank in the chest. Doctors pulled 38 slugs from his body. His deathbed injunction repeated word of mouth among the strikers. tell the boys not to fail me now. More than 40,000 turned out to pay their respects to the World War I veteran and father of four. Palmer adds that Bloody Friday had lasted a matter of minutes, but its meaning would leave a mark on the very fabric of Minneapolis's socioeconomic relations. Labor History in 2 brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show. For more information, go to laborhistoryin2.com.
You're listening to The Nicole Sandler Show on Progressive Voices and NicoleSandler.com. We could all use some healing these days, so we turn to the power of music. Each Monday, we welcome another artist to share some songs and stories as The Nicole Sandler Show presents the Monday Music Sunset Sessions.
All right, I'm back, and in just a moment, we'll be joined by Dan Byrne. It's so funny, I was getting his shot all set up during the Labor History in 2, and I have him up on the screen, and I just saw him walk out of the room. So he's there. Dan Byrne will be back with us shortly. Hopefully he's just grabbing some water or something. But let me tell you a little bit about Dan Byrne while we're waiting for him to come back. He is a modern-day troubadour. Dan Byrne has been writing, recording, and performing songs for a few decades now. Having released something on the order of 25 albums and EPs, he's played thousands of live shows across North America and Europe. And now, thanks to, well, the COVID and quarantining, he's doing it on the internet with a series of Hunkered in the Bunker webcasts. Dan Byrne, there you are. Thank you so much for joining us for this. It's so nice to see you again.
Oh, it's a pleasure to see you.
I don't know if you even remember me, but we met back in 1997 when your first CD came out. I actually still have it right here. It's called Dog Boy Van. This was just an EP before your major label debut came out on Work Records. By the way, Pam Edwards says hello, if that name rings a bell.
Sure.
And I was fortunate enough to work at a very cool radio station in L.A. at the time that played your music. And I've been a fan of yours ever since. And there you are. So thank you for being here. So
thank you for having me, and thanks for doing what you're doing.
Oh, it's my pleasure. You know, I've been doing talk radio for some years now, but as I remind listeners all the time, we need something other than the news and politics, cuz that'll make you crazy. And music has been my saving grace. Music is what pulled me out of the depression that I fell into after Trump got elected. And it's my escape from the world, and I think we all need it. As a songwriter, do you feed off of what happens in the world, or do you just make up stories as you go along?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I've always taken the political very personally. So I never put a barrier between, you know, political songs and personal songs. It's all what affects you. Mm-hmm. Obviously, right now, there's a lot to affect you.
There is. You also have a wealth of material to choose from throughout the years, but you're still writing. In fact, you've got a new record of quarantine-related music, an album called Quarantine Me, that I guess you recorded and released during our time staying at home, trying to stay safe.
Yeah, I mean, that one already feels old to me.
Because
that was like the first probably month of the whole quarantine thing. So, I mean, so much has happened since. I mean, we're moving in some warp speed. And yeah, so I'm always more concerned about what's sort of, you know, what I'm doing right now and what's coming up. And even what I did 4 months ago, 3 months ago, feels old. That's why I had trouble when I was with, you know, a big record company and they wanted to focus on something for a long time. And I just was moving too fast, I think, for to be able to really support something, one thing for that long.
Right, because they do. They run it into the ground, much like radio runs songs into the, popular radio runs songs into the ground where they play them over and over again to the point where it's like, I don't ever want to hear that again. But Dan Byrne is with us. You've consented to give us a taste of what you do on your Hunkered in the Bunker shows here on Facebook Live and play a couple songs for us. So what are you going to start with?
Well, I got this one out. I'm sort of going between, you know, being in one place and having all my old songbooks at the reach.
Mm.
And sort of unusual position for me of being able to play anything that I've, you know, that I've ever done. So that really widens that bag. Plus, I'm also writing a ton because, as we were saying, there's so much to sort of play off of. And then I'm also learning a lot of, you know, other people's songs, which, again, is easy if it's sitting in front of you. Uh-huh. So that really widens the whole palette. Plus, I got my daughter Lulu, who comes in from time to time. She sings songs.
I've seen her on a couple of them.
Yeah.
Very sweet. So keep it in the family.
So, well, like a lot of people, you know, you're looking for some hope and some feeling of hope and belief and energy, positive. A lot of times, I got to admit, sometimes the only times I feel that is when I'm actually singing, you know, actually playing and singing. And then it's like, I feel like I'm walking 10 feet above everything and, you know, just floating along blissfully or whatever it is, angrily or, you know.
Frustratedly, right.
So I play and sing as much as I possibly can right now.
Right. So what do you want to do for us first?
This one's called George Floyd.
Ah.
I just, you know, felt like in the tradition of those songs like that so that we remember something. You know, so
right.
So that, yeah. One night in Minneapolis on the 25th of May, in a time of upheaval and in a time of plague, in a time of doubt and trouble. Be afraid of where you breathe. Doctors, nurses dying. It ain't something to believe. A man was taken to the ground. You can see the picture still. For the crime of buying cigarettes with a fake $20 bill. And a knee to his neck. 8 minutes 46, I kid you not. He pleaded, cried, I can't breathe. And to his dead ma, he called out, George Floyd, George Floyd. He did not die in vain. Good people rising up in your name. Pictures spread like fire. And the images, they burn. Across the land like a volcano. Could learn to do some business like usual, where darkness is a crime in a country and society where it happens all the time. But somehow this was different. It was more of the same. At a time when love was needed, just more nonsense and more shame. And the world took notice, and the world took to the streets. And the world echoed, I can't breathe. The world rose to its feet. George Floyd, George Floyd, you did not die in vain. Good people are rising up in your name. and with masks to our faces, 'cause the plague it didn't stop. We rose up with fury against the violence and the cops, and the call rang out for justice across a stricken land. But the fascists called for more blood, the fascists tipped their hand. But even with the armies of the fascists cracking heads, something real was growing through the concrete and lead. You did not ask for martyrdom, you can't get back what they stole. But there ain't no weapon ever made that can rob you of yours. So, George Floyd, George Floyd, you did not die in vain. Good people rising up in your name. George Floyd, George Floyd, you did not die in vain. Good people rising up in your name.
Dan Byrne, George Floyd. Wow. Thank you for writing that. That's important. And I bemoan often the lack of good new protest music. Do you think there's a lack of it, or are we just not hearing it, that it's out there?
I think it's pretty much out there. You know, again, whether it's going to be that 5-8 times a day pop song on the radio... No, it comes from underneath, you know, it comes from the basement.
Right.
And most of the time, I think it's like that, you know. You know, Bob Dylan in 1965 was kind of an exception, I think. But it's all over and splintered, and there's no one... It's like, you know, it's up to everybody in their little ways.
That it is. You mentioned Bob Dylan, and you've been compared to Bob Dylan a lot over the years. And it could be the, you know, the voice. It could be the artistry in your lyrics. It could be the, you know, a lot of things. I mean, do you see a comparison there, or does it bother you? You're a better tennis player.
I'm a much better tennis player than him.
Gotcha.
They never say that.
Okay. But because that's not on display for all of us to see regularly.
Well, I'm just telling you, Nicole. I'm just telling
Good
you.
Good to know.
It used to bug me, I think, a little bit. At first it was flattering, then it used to bug me. Now it's back to yeah, sure.
Right. Have you met him?
I've not met him. No.
Have you met Bruce Springsteen?
I have, yeah. Well,
and did he know about your song in which you meet Bruce Springsteen?
Yeah, he did know about it. I don't know that he had heard it. And if I had been a little more on my game, I would have immediately called for a guitar and played it to him right away.
Uh-huh.
But at least he knew about it. And he, you know, all the stories about him are true. He's super gracious and remembers everybody and the whole thing.
Yeah, I met him once too, and I was was about what I was able to get out, but it was when that radio station when we played your music in Los Angeles had just gone on the air, and he and Patty were together, and she's like, "Oh, Bruce, she's at that radio station that we love," and he's, "Oh, I love that station. We listen all the time." So that of course happened, all, you know, 25 years ago, and will remain with me forever. You are not only a musical artist, but you're a visual artist as well, Dan Byrne. You do cool drawings and little videos that we could see on Facebook. You actually had an art show last year, didn't you? And if you say, I guess you were down here in South Florida. I didn't even know.
I did one in Isla Mirada, and then I did one in New York, and I did a baseball one in with songs in San Francisco, and a tennis one.
Wow.
I got a picture. I just did this one of John Lewis yesterday.
Oh, that's awesome. If not us, then who?
Can you see what it says?
It says, if not us, then who? If not now, then when? John Lewis. That's wonderful. That's great.
I like to do all that stuff.
Have you ever released a book or anything of your artwork? I know you did a book of poetry, but have you done a book of your art, of your drawing art?
Not a book of one as such. If I've done a bunch of books and there's drawings in those. I recently discovered this coolest app in the world called Flip-A-Clip, and it allows you to make cartoons. So I've been making cartoons.
Oh, really?
Just my daughter Lulu taught me this app, and so it's just in the last couple of weeks. It's kind of like this amazing thing. Mark Maron. At the end of all his shows, he plays little blues licks, right?
Mm-hmm.
He grabs his guitar and he's in his garage. So he plays some electric guitar. And then at the very, very end, he yells, "Boomer Lives!" That's his little trademark. Boomer was his cat who disappeared.
Right.
So it's like Boomer Lives. And I thought, Maron's playing all this cool sounding guitar and he's got this Boomer Lives kind of chorus. It's like, that's his song, but he only does it once and he doesn't do it while he's playing. So I grabbed those two bits and looped the Boomer Lives. So he's doing it while he's playing. And it was like a 30-second clip. And then I made a cartoon and I just put it up on Twitter and he saw it.
Uh-huh.
And he retweeted it. And
it's
like, so suddenly tons of people saw this thing that, you know, just very, very fast the way this stuff works sometimes now.
Technology is a blessing and a curse, I think. Look, it's allowed us to come together during this pandemic when we're all stuck at home. I've done a number of things, including starting this Monday music segment. But I also did a thing where I was calling all over the world to people shut in other countries, all quarantining together. I think this is the first time on a global scale we've all been experiencing the same kind of very strange reality, and that is staying at home to avoid getting this horrible virus that's killing a lot of people. And so it's made this very big world a little bit smaller. It's also made people like you, Dan Byrne, who are troubadours, who spend a lot of time on the road performing, have to find a new way to get your music out there and to hopefully make a few dollars. So you have been doing these hunkered in the bunker sessions on Facebook Live and asking people, they can help you out by donating to your Venmo or I guess PayPal or whoever. And a lot of artists are turning to this. So how long have you been doing these now?
Just since this started, like almost immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever that is, like or mid-March probably might have been the first one.
Gotcha. And you get very interactive. I mean, are you finding it's fostering a relationship between you and your fans?
Absolutely. I mean, I feel, you know, I miss the crawl when I don't see the crawl. You know, the crawl of comments.
Right.
It's like, if that's not there, it's like, who am I talking to?
Gotcha. I guess it'll be weird when you hit back a stage and there, you won't have the ticker going along. But then you get the applause, which I'm sure is it weird performing without that immediate audience feedback in that manner? You do get it from the comments.
Well, you... It's almost like those, now you get those thought bubbles, like in those, you know, they'll do that in those movies sometimes.
Uh-huh.
You know, it used to be somebody would come up to you after the show maybe and say, I really was hoping you'd play blah, 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 blah. And you're like, well, okay, I'll play it tomorrow in some other town. But now you get it immediately.
Right.
And, you know, you're doing some other song and they're talking about something else. And then they start talking to each other. And it's definitely a different thing. I mean, it's not being in a room full of live people. It's, no. You know, it's not that, but it's a different thing. It's just
a new experience. Right. Yeah. Can we get you to do another song for us?
Sure. Lulu just crept in here. So
yeah.
Maybe we'll do one together.
Okay. How old is Lulu?
Lulu just turned 11. You wow. can't hear them right now. I can hear them. I can hear Nicole. I'm talking to Nicole. Come on in.
Hi, Lulu.
Just turned 11. Say, you can say hi.
Hi. Hi. She's adorable.
Well, maybe we'll do a little higher. Should we do a little higher? Oh. When Jackie Robinson pulled that uniform off, when Jackie Robinson pulled that jersey off, his eye was clear and his voice rang true, and the number on his back was 42. 42.
42.
42.
42.
The number on his back was 42. 42.
42.
The number on his back was 42. Born in Georgia, played in Negro leagues, switched to Army Green in the big war overseas. Then the big leagues come a-calling, said Mr. Robinson, pulled his arm, and the number on his back was 42. Trumpet. When Jackie Robinson pulled that uniform off, when Jackie Robinson pulled that jersey off, his eye was clear and his voice rang true.
The number
back was 42. Born in Georgia, switched to Army Green in the big war. Come calling, said Mr. Robinson, pull this off, and the number his back was 42. Here we go. 42.
42.
42. 42. The number on his back was 42. 42.
42.
42. Number on his back was 42. Born in Georgia, played in the Negro leagues, switched to Army Green in the big war overseas. Then the big leagues come a-calling, said Mr. Robinson, pulled his arm, and the number on his back was 42. One more time, 42.
42.
42. The number on his back was 42.
42.
42. 42. He wore Dodger blue and every color of the rainbow too. 42. 42. Want to take us out with that horn?
That was awesome. 42. Dan Byrne and Lulu. And what, just playing a trumpet, a mouthpiece there? What was that?
That was the All-American Kazoo.
Oh, it was a kazoo. I love it.
You know, if you play it right, it sounds like a flugelhorn.
Something like that. That was wonderful. You know, 42, of course. You do have a whole album of baseball songs. Obviously, you're a big baseball fan.
Yeah, I love it, and I love the lore of the game. I grew up reading a lot about it because where I grew up, we didn't have a major league team, so I kind of always came to it that way and through songs. And then finally, when I was, a very young man, I was in Chicago, so I went to Wrigley Field every day, and then that's a great place to hang out.
I've not been. I've been to you know, Yankee Stadium and the old Shea Stadium and Fenway Park.
They never got you up to Fenway? I've been to Fenway.
I programmed the river in Boston for a while. Oh, and so sure. I got to see Springsteen at Fenway, which that was, I never saw a baseball game at Fenway, but I saw Bruce at Fenway. So that made my baseball career.
Yeah, that'll work.
It worked. It was awesome. So Dan Byrne, I know you with a guitar in hand. But in 2018, you lost two fingers in a snowblower accident. What happened?
Well, that makes it sound a little more dramatic than it was. I lost the ends of a couple of fingers. I lost that much of my middle finger.
Yeah.
And then I lost some of my pointer. It took a while, but I started playing the piano in that time when I couldn't play the guitar. So, you know, blessings come along with everything. I got lucky because I can play the guitar again. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
And you had an album out a couple of years ago that, and I can't remember the name of it. Sorry. What was your last studio album?
It was called Regent Street.
Regent Street. And so when this pandemic is over, you pick up and go back on the road, or you think this will change how you do business in the future?
Yeah, I have no idea.
None of us
do. I have no idea. I mean, I can imagine that even if I'm traveling, I might still be doing, these shows in this format too. And who knows what else? I mean, it's kind of just the beginning, and everything got a little sped up. But I think making predictions right now is real hard.
Yeah, it definitely. Because who knows what's going to happen? We've got all these benchmarks coming up. We have November 3rd coming up, but then we have January 20th coming up. We don't know what's going to happen. And then there's the virus on top of it all. So, you know, we just, I guess, have to wait and see try to stay sane in the meantime. So before we leave, we're coming up on the end of the hour, and Progressive Voices Network is going to leave us right at the top of the hour. So I want to make sure people know where they can find you. Dan Byrne, BERN.com is your website. Through there, but they can find you. You have an online radio station, Radio Free Bernstein, which I can't get because I don't have a Mac. So I think it only streams.
You should be able to get it on your phone, too.
Oh, really? On my Android? I have an Android.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I'll have to check it out because I couldn't get it on my computer. I'm a PC person. You also host a podcast. You're still doing that, 10,000 Crappy Songs?
I'm waiting. We did season one. Season two's already, except the guy who's my musical partner in that, Will Massasak from the old IJBC, all his stuff is locked away somewhere that he's not. So, but season two hopefully will be out soon. That's fun. A guy who wrote 10,000 crappy songs by his own estimation, and then gives it up and becomes a detective, and circumstances always force him to write some song to further his case. You know,
awesome. As every detective should. You can find all that at danbyrne.com. Of course, find Dan Byrne on Facebook Live when he does his Hunkered in the Bunker, and tons of 25 or so albums that you can choose from. So go check out Dan Byrne. Can I get you to do one more song on the way out?
Sure. Anything you want to hear?
Can I get you to do Jerusalem if you want to go all the way back?
Let's do it.
All right. Dan Byrne.
When I tell you that I love you, don't test my love, accept my love, don't test my love, 'cause maybe I don't love you all that much. Don't ask what kind of music I'm gonna play tonight, just stay a while. here for yourself a while. And if you must put me in a box, make sure it's a big box with lots of windows and a door to walk through and a nice high chimney so we can. Kings came to my door. They said, you want to be an ancient king too? I said, oh yes, very much, but I think my timing's wrong. They said, time is relative. Or did you misread Einstein? I said, do you really mean it? They said, what do you think we come here for? A goddamn help or something? Everybody's waiting for the Messiah. The Jews are waiting, Christians are waiting, also the Muslims. It's like everybody's waiting. They've been waiting a long time. I know how I hate to wait, like even for a bus or something, an important phone call. So I can just imagine a darned impatient everybody must be getting. So I think it's time now, time to reveal myself. I am the Messiah. I am the Messiah. I am the Messiah. Ooh. Yeah, I think you heard me right. I am the Messiah. I was gonna wait till next year, build up the suspense a little, make it a really big surprise, but I could not resist. It's like when you got a really big secret, you're just bursting to tell someone. It was sort of like that with this, and now that I've told you, I feel this great weight lifted. Dr. Nussbaum was right. He's my therapist. He said, get it out in the open. I spent 10 whole days in Jerusalem. Jerusalem, sweet Jerusalem. And all I ate was olives, nothing but olives, mountains of olives. It was a good 10 days. I like olives. I like you too. So when I tell you that I love you, don't test my love. Accept my love. Don't test my love. 'Cause maybe I don't love you all that.
Yes, there's the applause. Dan Byrne, thank you so much. This is awesome. The only downside is, you know, a shaky internet connection at times. But this has been such a treat for me. And I know I'm watching the people, you know, in the chat room, and they're loving it, too. Thank you so much for doing this. I really, really appreciate it. And thank you for keeping the music going and entertaining us all while we're all stuck at home. It's a treat watching you.
Well, thanks for doing what you're doing. And, you know, let's do it again anytime.
I would love to. Absolutely. I will take you up on that. Dan Byrne, again, check him out at danbyrne.com. Find him on Facebook. Listen to his albums. Look him up on YouTube. You can see, you know, a lot of performances. They're all over the place. You got a year's worth of great music to choose from. And thanks to you and thanks to Lulu as well. Thank you, Dan.
All right.
All right. You, take care. Bye-bye. What a treat that was. And with that, we are done. That's the end of another day. Tomorrow's Tuesday. Who knows what the hell the day is going to bring us, but we'll cover all the news. Got a Laugh will be here. We'll have some fun, too, and we'll take it from there. Thanks for listening, everyone. Have a good one. See you tomorrow. Bye.